So 28% of all people said too busy. 16% not interested. Mm-hmm. Just not interested.
Not interested.
With the not, which is a problem.
With the not interested, though, is it that they were interested once and now they're not? Or they just never... They, don't
they should have... Is it lost interest?
Yes.
Or never had interest? It goes into F's not given, like, category. Or no F's left to give. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Oh.
All right. So this is our election special.
Happy election day, everyone.
Yeah. We are not covering the election. Have you been following it? I turned everything off about 3 months ago because I couldn't take it anymore.
You couldn't take it? I'm in a private Facebook group.
Where you discuss the election
amongst yourselves? Yeah, that we all agree.
That was is it echo chamber? Because I like the echo chamber of Facebook, where you just all agree on the same thing and you just keep agreeing over and over again.
Because... I was a Hillary supporter. I'll say it.
I still am. Okay.
Idea that if you start posting on Facebook and then you hear, and then people who are into Trump try to talk to you about Trump.
Why? Why would they even try to talk to you about Trump? You're clearly a rational person and you're not going to go for it.
So I'm just in a private group and we all just say positive things about Hillary.
Yes. Everyone like, good morning group. Hello. How are you?
And that's it. So it's much
You fun. Look nice today.
Nobody wants to get into it. You can't.
I like that idea. So it's like positive political reinforcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a libertarian. For anyone who's been listening to this or who's ever stood anywhere near me while I've been talking knows. And I don't get into a lot of political discussions with people because as a third party candidate, they're just kind of like, who next?
Yeah.
And actually, I found that Republicans hate us more than they hate Democrats.
Well, the thing is, I think somebody was saying the Republican Party is pretty much destroyed.
They really destroyed themselves with this one. As my mother always says, you don't need to worry about evil. Mm. Evil destroys itself. Mm-hmm. They really shot themselves in the face, Cheney style, with this one.
But they're saying now that the Libertarian Party is going to be the new old Republican Party.
No, because I'll just put this out there for everybody. We're an anti-war party. Mm-hmm. That's not a Republican stance.
Yeah.
We're anti-war, right? We're a pro-peace party.
Okay.
That's not Republican. Or Democrat, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid a lot of Republicans will try to come over to the Libertarian area, but you have to understand, like, we're actually very... I don't know. We have a lot of moderate stances. Like, we were pro-gay marriage from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's not Republican.
But this is the way the world is changing, that there's going to be a shift. So the next big party is going to be the Libertarian and then the Democrat.
I like being
a
small party.
And then the Republican is going to be just like the people who are left behind.
The Whig party? It's going to be the Whig. The Whig. So you think it's going to be Libertarian? I don't know. I don't think enough people are going to want it. Because it's hard to... You know, I was a Democrat for a while. Believe it or not, I was a socialist for a while because I went to a very liberal period and I joined the Socialist Party. And then I got there. I was like, oh, that's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you change your political, it's like religion. If you go from one, if you're born in one religion and you try to go to the other, you have to read up on it as opposed to if you're just there in the first place.
Yeah,
like if you're already Catholic, you don't even have to bother with what's going on.
Right.
But if you are trying to become Catholic, it's like you got to read and be into it and follow the rules. You got to be more Catholic.
Quiz you.
Yes, you gotta be more Catholic than the Catholics.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, in our Election Day special, we're gonna be talking about. I have some stuff on the Electoral College. I have something about if you think this is a bad presidential race, I have some other ones in U.S. history.
That took the cake. Yeah.
So, what do you wanna kick off with?
Just talk about a couple of facts.
Okay. Election facts.
Yeah, some fun ones.
I want the not fun facts.
Okay, then the worst campaign slogan in history.
Oh.
The worst campaign slogan in history belongs to Al Smith, who was against prohibition. To show his support for the creation, distribution, and sale of alcohol, he advertised, "Vote for Al Smith. He'll make your wet dreams come true."
I can't even believe, like, nobody. So this is 1928.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, Al. Is anything fishy about this slogan?
Yeah.
It's kind of like vote for Pedro, right? Vote for me and I'll make all your wildest dreams come true.
George Washington blew his entire campaign budget on 160 gallons of liquor to serve potential voters.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And now, if you did that nowadays, people would be upset about it. But he had a good thing going there.
Yeah.
A bottle of champagne might get me to vote for you. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, it might. It just might happen.
John Adams.
Okay. Does he have a bad slogan as well? Oh, these are facts.
He was very jealous of George Washington.
Because of his teeth and his hair.
He said John Adams complained that the only reason George Washington was chosen for everything.
Because he had a huge quote, Johnson. Chosen for, wow, he's really bitter.
Including president, was because he was taller than anyone else in the room.
Are you kidding me? This is like sour grapes extreme.
Yeah, so they
well,
say
you picked
that,
him for everything. What a loser.
John Adams' jealousy may have had more to do with his own lack of public recognition than dislike of Washington himself.
Was he a small man? Is that what?
I don't know. We should get a exhume the body
I didn't know that George Washington. He's known for being the father of the country and a great general and all this kind of stuff. Not so much for being tall. I've never heard that he was a tall man. He had wooden teeth.
Yeah, he was like 6 feet tall.
I didn't know
with
that.
His wooden teeth and he
with his. That's how he got everything. He has everything.
He has everything, George Washington.
I feel like Adams had a lot of stuff going on, too. Maybe he should have, looked, been a little reflective.
Yeah.
About himself.
And then Stephen A. Douglas called Abraham Lincoln two-faced during an election year, and Lincoln replied, "If I had another face, do you think I'd wear this one?"
Oh, wow. Really? Self-deprecating humor. He's like, I got a million of these.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. So I'm gonna give you then the bad election. This election has been, whether you like the candidates or don't like the candidates, I think there's an overwhelming feeling that they're despicable.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things. And that a lot of people are just unhappy.
Politicians are in general.
Yes, in general. Because they're politicians.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who they are. But it hasn't always been this way, but which I just look back through history to see some really bad election beef. So I found this in 1800, Adams versus Jefferson versus Burr.
Oh, okay.
Three-way.
A three-way.
Three-way beef. When John Adams and Thomas Jefferson ran against each other, it was a bloodbath. That's what they say. A lot of it started with Jefferson, who used connections with a printer to circulate pamphlets, insinuating that Adams wanted a war with France, and then also he was a hermaphrodite.
Oh!
It said he had a hideous hermaphroditical character, which has neither the force and firmness of a man nor the gentleness and sensibility of a woman. That was his slur.
That was it.
I wonder how many people responded to that or were just confused by that.
Well, later he was jailed for insurrection.
Really?
Yes.
Based on?
Talking like that.
Wow. Going on like that. Calling people out as hermaphrodites. It's just such a weird, of all the things that you could pick on for someone. Okay. They're saying that he wanted war with France. Okay. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legitimate political thing. But being a hermaphrodite?
Yeah.
I'm guessing most people didn't even know what that was back then. It probably sent people running to a dictionary.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did he say? I don't know, but it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound good at all.
Doesn't sound good. There was a hermaphrodite. Hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite. And then people look it up, they're like, oh, he's hanging dong and he has vertical smile. Like, whatever. What does this have to do with anything?
That's what they were saying.
That's exactly what they were saying. He had vertical smile and hanging dong. So, what does it say here? So the craziness of the election didn't stop there. At the time, the Electoral College picked the president and vice president by voting for the two favorites, and then whoever got the top votes was the president.
Oh.
Totally different from now.
Oh, wait a minute.
So they had two people, and whoever got most of the votes was the president, and then the other person was their runner-up.
That's
the VP. It makes sense. Instead of them running together, although it probably created some problems, because you don't know who your number two is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Until the votes come in.
Yeah, right. But then you have to, forces you to work together with somebody, and that's how nice. That's the way the U.S. is. We have to work together.
We should have to work together, yeah.
That we may not agree with.
So it says, during the 1800 election, it came down to Jefferson and Burr, and there was a tie. It took 7 days to break the tie, and then it was so annoying that they created the 12th Amendment, which switched up the Electoral College process to make it so it could never happen again. Jefferson won, and then Burr, we know, went on to be known as the guy who killed Alexander Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of his story. They have one here. Oh, here's your guy. I'll skip over him. He'll make your wet dreams come true. That's just terrible.
Yeah,
That's up there with Lick Bush. You remember those?
No.
The anti-Bush t-shirts?
No.
From Bush 1?
Oh.
In 1872, Democrat Horace Greeley ran against incumbent Ulysses S. Grant. He didn't have much of a chance. He was destroyed in the popular election, but he held out hope for the Electoral College, but then unfortunately he bit it. He still got, right before the election, mm-hmm. before the votes were in. Mm-hmm. So he didn't make it. He got 66 votes, but then he was dead on arrival.
Oh,
I know.
That's sad.
Here's another one. Harding versus Cox. 1920 isn't notable because of the candidates. Oh, because of the third party candidate, Eugene Debs. You remember hearing about this guy in school for like a minute. Apparently he was a hardcore socialist, and he mounted his fifth and final presidential campaign from prison. I like his style. Yes.
Wow. That takes the nerve.
Yeah. He was jailed for opposing World War I. And then he managed to run the campaign from behind bars anyway. Mm-hmm. So not bad. Smith versus Hoover. We talked about that guy. He'll make your wet dreams come true. And then Nixon versus Humphrey. Now, we're too young to remember mm-hmm. Nixon. But all I know about Nixon growing up is that he was a crook. Like, even when we were, like, 4 years old, we were like, I am not a crook.
Yeah, that was the thing. And that, and then he fell down. He fell out of the plane. That's all you know.
So it says, during the 68 election, they had incredibly horrifying and mean-spirited campaign ads. They went back and forth. It was just negative. They had Nixon's spot. It had, like, a pink-tinged acid trip. It's like the weirdest spot ever. Like, mm-hmm. it looks like it's psychedelic. And Hubert Humphrey, his TV spot, featured a person just laughing maniacally at Spiro Agnew's name. So Spiro Agnew was the running mate of Nixon. Yeah. So it was just somebody making fun of Spiro Agnew's name. Like, they would just say Spiro Agnew, and then they'd be like, ah!
So that's classic.
And that's the ad. That's the ad. That's it. This person has a funny name.
Oh, my God.
Don't vote for them. And they're that's probably so weird. Ethnic.
Yeah.
They're probably an ethnic white.
Yeah. John Jones.
Don't vote for them.
Yes. I figure the first woman to run for U.S. president was Victoria Woodhull in 1872.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nearly 50 years before the 19th Amendment allowed women to vote mm-hmm. in presidential elections. And her running mate was Frederick Douglass.
Damn.
Yeah. He was the first African-American ever nominated for vice president.
He was badass.
Yeah, and Woodhull, she believed that women should have the freedom to marry, divorce, and bear children without government interference.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I second that. I found out something really interesting about Frederick Douglass. We were at a museum over the past, like, week or so. And you know how you always see pictures of him? Mm-hmm. Like, he's very recognizable. He's got that great hair.
Yeah.
And when you see a picture of him, he's always dressed to the nines.
Yes, yes.
Always. And I was like, I'm like, did he just kick it like that all the time? Apparently he was doing it on purpose. To show people the dignity of African Americans in a time when African Americans weren't shown with a lot of dignity.
Yeah.
So he sat for tons of portraits and always made sure to be dressed very well, very regally. And people would see that, this image of this black uh-huh. guy, and then they would be like, oh, okay, this is what we're talking about when we talk about black people.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Cool. His hair is badass.
Yeah, his hair is.
It's like,
I like it.
I don't know how he got the wave. There's like a nice part on the side. I don't know. He's a good look. Today, he'd probably model.
Probably. It's like Frederick Douglass or Givenchy.
Exactly. He would have a scent.
Yeah.
He'd be out there.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected president 4 times.
Really?
Before the 22nd Amendment set the term limits.
I didn't know that.
FDR stopped.
They were like, we're done.
It's enough.
Was he that fantastic that people liked him?
Sure.
Although I think if Obama could run again right now, people would probably vote for him just out of desperation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge term limits person, but I'm like, yeah, we'll do Obama one more time.
Yeah.
Rather than deal with this.
Yeah.
Because maybe this whole thing will blow over.
Yeah.
Like, Hillary and Trump are old.
Yeah.
Obama's like 54.
The oldest president was Ronald Reagan at 69, and the youngest was John F. Kennedy at 34.
69?
69, and we were all like, it's old. But everybody is, what is it, Trump is...
70.
So is Hillary.
And Hillary. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, and I'm not an ageist person, but I'm like, can your generation step aside? Can you please step aside, baby boomers? Boom. Go. It's over. I like a young president. 34?
34.
I can't even imagine. Why not?
But he was, that was when they were, that were running, because I think you have to be 35.
Yeah,
to
so
be
he, I guess he turned 35 right before the election, or before he was got into office.
God, talk about coming in under the wire.
I know,
and like timing is everything.
It's timing like, it out.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a young president, because why not? There's no evidence that older people do a better job. None. Mm-hmm. Absolutely none.
No, but there is something about life experience that you need to do.
Reagan?
Well, no, in general, life experience should be teaching you some lessons that the younger people don't have.
Has Trump learned a single lesson?
No, he has not.
I've not been following it, but I saw him today, and like an image of him. Apparently, he had to apologize to America. He said something. This is what I mean. Like, this is what you're doing, right? Apologizing?
Yeah.
Just go for it, man.
Oh, and then...
Just go for it.
This is why I'm in the private Facebook group, because then the people are trying to defend what he was saying.
Why defend it? Look, here, if you want to say something that... My thing is, say what's on your mind, and if people don't like it, hey.
Yeah.
That's it. What's to apologize for? This is your opinion.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know. What's to apologize for? Who knows?
Do you know Jehovah's Witnesses don't vote?
Yes, I do.
I didn't know.
My grandmother was a Jehovah's Witness.
I had no idea.
And from what I understand, she didn't vote. She didn't pledge allegiance to the flag, because they don't pledge allegiance to any symbols.
Mm-hmm.
She also didn't, I don't know if they even recognize, like, this, you know, like the government in, like, a larger sense of having real control over their lives.
I got the four R's.
Rehearse, record, rinse, and repeat. 209 West 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLifeNYC.
Yeah, I was aware of the Jehovah's Witness thing. They also don't celebrate, or my grandmother didn't celebrate birthdays or really anything. It's quite boring having a grandmother who's a Jehovah's. So no Jehovah's vote.
Did she put candy in her purse at least?
Yeah,
oh,
it was candy.
That's good. That's all right.
It was the peppermint kind, though.
Oh.
I know. We were talking about that the other day, because there are some candies that, like, I like a peanut chew. But I'm sure a young person's like, what the hell is that? It's like a turd, you know?
Peanut chews.
Peanut chews.
Who has the nerve to make those and call them a candy?
Philly. Okay. So what else do you have?
Philly?
Yeah, they're from Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely.
The peanut chew. Interesting election fact. The peanut chew.
Roseanne Barr once attempted to run for president and got as far as filing with the Federal Election Committee under the Green Tea Party ticket.
Who's the Green Tea Party?
I don't know.
They sound mellow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'd like to have a presidential candidate who's a comedian running.
Yeah.
Why not? It couldn't be any worse than what we have now. At least they'd have some good rejoinders.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But then again, an outsider coming in, it's just like...
Trump is supposedly an outsider.
I know,
coming
see?
In. Yeah, but I mean, it's, I don't know. I know Iceland has had a joke party, and then Italy had a joke party. They started out as jokes, and now they're like legit parties. They got into office, and they were like, oh, we got to do something. I don't see how it could be worse than Democrats and Republicans, though, a clown party and a pirate party.
Yeah.
That might be what we have already. I'm not sure.
I don't know. After this election cycle, I don't know what the parties are going to be.
I mean, I like your idea that they're the Libertarian Party, but I don't think a lot of people are going to go for our stances. You know, we're for small government. No political party is for small government.
We are going to, but there has to be a new party now that is for conservatives with a good head on their shoulders.
Well, there's actually a conservative party. It's very small.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're very small in New York. I don't know how they figure into elections in other parts of the country, but they're essentially a Republican party that's a little more centered.
Yeah, so maybe that's where all of those people
maybe
are
they'll
have
go
to
there.
Go there. And Republican Party is just a...
the Whig Party, the clown...
the clown party.
Maybe it'll just be the crazy party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like the loony, raving monster party kind of thing to the right. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't know. I don't want to see them coming over to my party, though.
Yeah.
With that BS. All right.
What do you have?
So this is something that I always have had questions about. It's the Electoral College.
Yes. Let's
talk get
about
into
the Electoral
this.
College.
Because you hear about it when you're a kid. And I had, even though I went to decent schools and you went to good schools too, I had a kind of a weak civic education. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like in a way, and from being a teacher, they don't really teach this stuff anymore. I think they don't want you to know about it.
Yeah.
Or they feel it's not that important.
Yeah.
I don't know. So the Electoral College.
It's boring to them too.
Yeah, it bores the teacher as well.
The teacher's like, it's Wednesday morning. I can't even bear this.
Not the Electoral College again.
Yeah.
So I went to the government site for this. This is on US.gov. Mm-hmm. So this is the official Electoral College. And it says many times on the site, the Electoral College is a process, not a place. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a confusion. If people are looking to go to the Electoral College, have a coffee, have a chat, it's not going to happen.
It says that on the site. No. Don't come here. No.
It just keeps saying it's a process,
okay,
not a place.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought I was like not, I guess I was half listening. I'm like, it says that you went to the website and it says don't come here.
Once again, it's a process, not a place. It's a compromise between the election of the president by a vote in Congress and the election of the president by a popular vote for qualified citizens. So I interpreted this to mean that they didn't want to just leave it up to the people.
Yeah.
They also need to have a check just in case the people pick something crazy.
Okay.
So it consists of 538 electors. And in order to become president, you need 270 electoral votes. So that's what we're seeing now when they're tallying up the Trump mm-hmm. stuff and the Hillary mm-hmm. stuff. Because they're like, he's got 60 votes, she's got 125 votes. But if you don't know how many votes someone needs,
yeah.
then that doesn't mean anything. So once someone gets to 270 votes, the party's basically over.
Okay.
So the allocation is you get one, your state's entitled allotment of electors equals the number of representatives and the congressional delegation. You get one elector for each member in the House of Representatives and two for the senators.
Mm.
That's it. So it's the same kind of weird allocation of representation as it is for everything else.
Okay.
It says under the 23rd Amendment, D.C. gets three electors and is treated like a state,
okay.
which is good for them because usually they don't get represented. So each candidate running for president has his or her own group of electors, and they are chosen by the candidate's political party. Mm-hmm. And so I looked into this. So you can become an elector if you have made serious contributions, monetary or otherwise, to your party, or if people like you.
Yeah. Oh.
And you're in the party. It could be anything. Okay. It's like, I like your hair. You're an elector.
Okay.
You know, it could be anything.
I want to be one.
And then certainly you can assume then you can buy your way to it okay. as well through money or influence.
Yes, like
your evil politician laugh. And they say here, you help choose your state's electors when you vote for president, because when you vote for your candidate, you're actually voting for your candidate's electors. This is a sentence that I went over many times. It makes no sense to me whatsoever because they just told us that we really can't pick who the electors mm-hmm. are. So when you vote for, say, Hillary Clinton, you're actually not voting for Hillary Clinton. You're voting for her electors.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people then have pledged to elect her. Although the elector can theoretically vote for whoever they want. So they could say, oh, they could be a person in the Democratic Party and say, I'm going to vote for Trump or I'm going to vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or whoever. But really, they usually just vote for the party that they're in already. It says most states have a winner-take-all system that awards all electors to the winning presidential candidate. So if the popular vote goes to one candidate, then that's where the electoral votes okay. supposedly are going to go.
All right.
Two states, though, have Maine and Nebraska is proportional. So if some people, if X amount of people vote for the Democrats and they get X amount of electors, the remaining people go to the Republicans or whoever else
all
they
right.
voted. It says,
sounds good to me.
Yeah. After the presidential election, your governor, Chris Christie.
Okay.
I'm scared for him.
He's gotten
is he
going to
drag himself down with this? I liked him at first.
Why?
Because
I'm
it seemed no when he first got into office, I didn't really know that much about him. I'm like, okay, whatever. And
it's
now it's like
gun.
It's just going
yeah.
down and down and down.
No, he's
did he?
I don't like him.
I don't like him now either. But that's what I'm saying. When he first got into office, I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
He's rude. He's incredibly rude.
He's New Jersey.
No, don't even blame that on New Jersey and our people.
It's the same here in New York.
No.
You know?
No, but it's not that kind of thing. Like, hey, and we just talk like this because we're from the East Coast.
You think he's actually mean.
Yeah.
And inappropriate.
Mean. Yeah.
So after the presidential election, your governor or mine prepares a certificate of ascertainment listing all the candidates and the name of the electors. So, and then in December, they have another meeting. So after we voted, they continue to like pull the election together. I had no idea. I thought that it ended with the popular vote. So like we vote and then the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December, after the presidential election, they meet and then they cast their votes for president and vice president. So we're done Happy as Larry. They're still going.
Well, I don't understand that, because the results come in after
election. The results of what we want come in. But then the process still has to continue.
Okay.
All right. So, I'm a libertarian, and I'm a skeptic anyway about all this. I'm like, why is this still going on in December?
Yeah.
We already spoke, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it doesn't matter. Who knows? Each state's electoral votes are then counted in the joint session of Congress on the 6th of January.
Oh.
So, there's still, this is why it takes so long for inauguration.
Because they're still
milling around trying to figure out how to finagle these votes.
I thought that they were needed a little time to tuck the silverware into their up their sleeves.
I was thinking too. Like, they're trying to get everything, dude. Get the pencils.
Get the china. Get the
And put pranks.
Yeah.
You know, removing keys and things like that.
Oh, right. And then glue the desk.
And then gluing the desk drawer shut. That kind of the office kind of stuff. So all of this takes place, and then finally on January 20th, we have the president-elect is sworn in as president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So the Electoral College. So then I looked into it. Like I said, the electors are chosen a two-part process. First, the political parties pick them. And then they keep saying that we somehow pick them.
Hmm.
Which I find bizarre, since I'm not very politically minded. You pay more attention than I do.
I don't know about that.
Pay very much attention at all. But I have a lot of friends who are really, really, really into politics. And I bet you if I asked them who their elector was, the person who actually they're giving their vote to elect whoever they think that is going to be the president is, they would have no idea who these people are.
I don't know.
It's just some random dudes and women behind curtain working their magic.
Yeah.
So, the Electoral College. It just still sounds shady to me.
Yeah, it's all shade.
It is all shade.
But
it is definitely all shady.
But all these things develop because something went wrong, and then they try to fix it. They put something in place.
I think what went wrong is that the popular vote went to a lunatic of some kind, and they were like, no, we're not doing this. Or an unpopular party member.
A lot of people are, it's not a slam against people, but a lot of people are not very bright, and it's okay.
No,
it's okay.
Or informed.
Yes, and right.
So there's one side of that. Yes, maybe there are a lot of things that you may not be able to understand. For example, me, math.
Right.
But on the other side, it's like, who has the time to sit down and look through all of these issues when you have your family to take care of, you have work, you have school, you have all of these things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're constantly bombarding you with this stuff. So, you're absolutely right. These things have developed over time. But the fact that, someone who considers themselves to be, at least somewhat knowledgeable of the political process, I have no idea. And I'm still not clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this from US.gov. So there's the Electoral College.
Nice.
In a nutshell.
Thank you for bringing that to us.
Yes. I give you the Electoral College.
Yes. Let's talk about one of our favorite things.
Uh-oh.
Booze. But this is about booze on election day.
Uh-huh.
And it used to be an American tradition.
When did booze used to be an American tradition for everything. People used to just load it all the time.
It was, today all kinds of behavior is closely watched at the polling places. And the very idea of holding a large drinking party as a way to sway voters would cause media attention. You know, like, you go to a polling place, and people who are still rabid about their candidates, they can't come.
It's like 500 feet or something like that?
Yeah.
I see them at the mark.
Yeah, they stand at the mark.
And then you walk by, there's like 8 people who are like, vote for this, vote for that.
They can't. Once you're within 500 feet of a polling facility, nobody
it's
can
over,
talk
yeah.
to you. So, yeah, it's like that. It's like at that shopping cart if you go to the grocery store.
And it locks up.
It locks up on you at a certain point. But in the days before Prohibition, political candidates and their supporters made sure the liquor flowed on election day as a simple way to turn out the vote.
And I'm down with that.
Yeah. In some cases, candidates held large parties in public places as people streamed into town to vote.
And get that booze.
One infamous election day party in Kentucky was attended by two local families who later gained the infamous reputation, the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, there was an issue.
They got into it.
They got into a fight on election day, and that started off their whole family feud.
Really? I didn't know that.
And we haven't addressed them in our new
segment. And beef.
Our new segment called Beef. Famous Beef.
I didn't know that it started over. They seem so ignorant as to be the kind of people who wouldn't bother to vote.
Yeah.
Like, that's the image I have of them.
Yeah. So, even in 1758... A young candidate in Virginia for the House of Burgess footed a huge liquor bill to woo voters. And that candidate later became the first president of the United States, George Washington.
So what's the problem? This is historical.
Yeah. Buying votes with booze was already a custom in England. Washington was following a Virginia tradition with barrels of liquor, and they were rolled into courthouse lawns and polling places on election day.
I mean, you know how I feel about this. At least you got some booze. Now what do you get?
Yeah.
Nothing. You get a sticker. I voted.
Yeah. So it went on and on. People working at the polling booths were drinking. Everybody, wow. The voters were drinking. Everyone was drinking.
And was it any worse now than it is today? Probably not.
And then the strict control of alcohol consumption during Prohibition, at least in public places, like the polls, made serving booze to voters problematic.
What about a piece of fruit?
And state laws are also passed to restrict liquor sales on Election Day.
Ugh.
And there's two states, I think it's Kentucky and someplace else, that you can't buy booze on Election Day. It's like a throwback.
It's one of these old things. Isn't Kentucky one of the states where they're trying to make sure nobody votes in the first place? What do they care?
Yeah, I don't know. There was something that happened. A former state representative in Arkansas now faces jail time for a scheme involving the exchange of vodka for absentee ballots.
Huh? Okay, so that's a little too much. But I see no problem with serving someone a fine shot of Stolichnaya on their way out of the polls. I think it should. When we talked about this before, it's very difficult to vote. Like, the reason why a lot of people don't vote in the United States is, sadly, and especially these are like working class people and rural people, mm-hmm. is because they cannot get to the polls.
Yes.
You can. And so they keep floating this around. And the Republican Party obviously is against it because they don't want people, yes. poor people, disenfranchised people to vote because they're afraid that they won't vote for them, which is not necessarily true.
Yeah.
If you run that right kind of candidate. But they wanted to make the Election Day a holiday. Which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
Everyone should have the day off. And we can't have it on a weekend because we have different kind of religious observances. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's have it, you know, in the middle of the week, like a Thursday or a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And everything should have to be closed. So mm-hmm. that if you don't have to vote, but if you want to, there should be really nothing stopping you. I think there should be free public transportation on that day. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
They should be, if people are having trouble getting somewhere, get an Uber mm-hmm. and pay for that. Whatever is going on to make sure that people get to the polls.
Yes, they should be pushing everybody to the polls.
Yeah.
But the practice, they make it as difficult as possible because they don't want people.
They don't want people to vote, really.
Yes.
They keep moving. They moved our polling spots a couple of times, which doesn't bother me as much because mm-hmm. I'm a very mobile person. But for a lot of the older people in our community, they were going to the same place for years. They go there. It takes them a long time to get there in the walker or their accessoride mm-hmm. or whatever. And they're like, it's not here.
Right.
Ridiculous.
And they love to vote.
And they do. They love to vote.
They're looking forward to it.
Although I say now that I'm in my 40s, by the time I get 65, I'm going to just start asking young people how to vote because I'm done. Like, and these things don't concern me.
Yeah.
Like, once I'm 65, 70 years old, like, why am I voting? I'm voting for the future, not the past. Right?
Oh, man. Well, anyway, but if you can't make it to the polls, at least have a drink.
At least have a drink. That's what we say. So I looked up online and said, why don't Americans vote? And the overwhelming response is 28% of people from a Washington Post poll in 2014 said... 28% of people said too busy.
Too busy.
Too busy, which I interpret as work.
Yeah.
Work or family, mm-hmm. childcare issues, whatever. It says this was for the midterm elections. And the midterm elections, traditionally, people don't really come out. That's the one where Greg, my husband, has to remind me. Because when it's the presidential election, you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But for the midterms, it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
It's that, you know. That time of the year again. So in the 2014 midterm elections, only 36% of people voted.
I vote.
36%.
I go out. I get up and I go and get it done right before work.
It's the worst turnout since 1942. They have got to do better. Like, it's just not acceptable to only have 36% of the people voting. That doesn't mean anything.
There was a teacher with her young students there showing them the polling facility while I was voting. And I thought for a second, I'll keep my curtain open. Let them see.
How the voting works. Because when you're a kid, you want to. Like, I remember going with my mom and be like, oh, that's what's in there. It's not the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, but then I was like, I don't feel like it because it's too early. I was tired. Oh, I didn't have any coffee yet.
You don't need to see what I'm doing in here.
I'm like, wouldn't it be great for them to see this?
I'm wondering.
Shut the curtain.
Because the last time that I voted, they had this, and I don't know if New Jersey had this problem, this stupid system where you scan it. So you had like a lot of, because once again, I live in a retirement community, basically. Like a lot of the people in our neighborhood are very old. So it's one, first they get to the polls, then they're filling out this tiny thing with a tiny pencil. Mm-hmm. And then they have to scan it.
Yeah.
And then some of these older people had not used a scanner before because they've been retired mm-hmm. for a long time. They're not in office equipment.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole debacle. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what the BS is going to be this year. Like what new pieces of equipment the governor's brother is pushing on us to help us like make voting a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, so 28% of all people said too busy. 16% not interested. Mm-hmm. Just not interested.
Not interested.
11% of people said illness or disability, which is a problem.
With the not interested, though, is it that they were interested once and now they're not, or they just never, they don't?
They should have, is it lost interest or never had interest? it goes with the F's not given, like category, or no F's left to give. So illness and disability, 11%, which is a problem because if there are people who have mobility issues and they can't get to the polls, come on.
Yeah.
That's not that difficult to address.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. 10% of people said out of town. I was out of town that weekend. 10% of all people.
I don't remember.
10% of all Americans.
Out
of town that weekend. 8% followed close, but forgot. I blame the candidates for this one.
Yeah.
If you're letting people, if people are not aware that you're running for office and they need to come out and vote for you today, that's mm-hmm. on you. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta, let's think back to, like, high school elections or, like, middle school elections. Like, it's your responsibility to make sure people know mm-hmm. that they need to vote for you. Another 8% said, dislike the candidates and the issues. Didn't like any of it.
Just was not getting involved.
Not a, to worrying, 2% registration problems.
Uh-huh.
Which is ridiculous. We know who's responsible for that. 2% inconvenient polling place.
Oh. This is inconvenient for mm-hmm. me to get to.
And then another 2%.
Usually in a rec center. It's like a giant room.
It is. The one near us is like right off the highway.
Yeah.
Which, once again, is easy to get to for me. But like, if you have any kind of issues, mobility issues whatsoever,
okay.
it's a pain in the ass. 2% said transportation problems, which once again, this should like pick people up, mm-hmm. make it free. I don't care. Or take it to them. Like I'm imagining like where I'm from, you have to drive like a half an hour to vote. And then less than 1% said bad weather. It was raining.
It was raining.
Effort. 9% other reason unidentified. And then 3% of people said they don't know why they didn't vote. They have no idea.
Alien abduction. I was just.
Don't know.
I lost the whole day.
This is a white email. I don't know.
I don't know.
I lost the whole day. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I intended to do so. Yeah, I have to make a plan for voting because I work and I have school.
Yeah.
So I have to figure out, am I going to have to get up ass early?
Ass early. Ass early is the way to go.
And try to get there. But in my neighborhood, because it's a commuter neighborhood, and this might be your situation too, coming from Hoboken, isn't everybody else going to be ass early as well?
No, we get a mix. It's either
really? Okay.
It's either late in the day or early in the morning.
Okay.
But I go early. I'm like right there.
I'm going to try to get in early this year and hold that. I need to take a clothespin in with me.
Oh, yeah.
To pinch my nose while I vote.
Yeah. Gotta do
I'll
it.
I'll be voting with one hand.
Gotta
only.
Do it because you're letting other people make a decision for you
yeah.
if you don't make a decision for yourself.
Well, I'm letting my electoral... Well, actually, now that we've read about the Electoral College, and since I'm not a Democrat or Republican, I don't even know if I have an elector. And we're a winner-take-all state.
Winner-takes-all.
Winner-takes-all. All right.
And I am a...
What do you have?
Can a relationship survive major political differences?
No.
No.
I'm going to say Katie and I say no. Next.
Well, some people don't care. Others still consider having similar views non-negotiable.
But shouldn't you work that out at the beginning?
Yeah, that's something to talk about. And then it,
like if you're a socialist, disclose early in their relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
In this article, they say, a woman I worked with in therapy, I'll call her Susan,
mm-hmm.
was recently divorced and just was getting back into the dating world. She was contacted.
Wait, this is a therapist saying this.
Yes.
Okay, she's working with her as a therapist.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And she was contacted online by a man who at first glance seemed to be fairly a compatible match on almost every level. But mm-hmm. when it came to politics, she was the bleeding heart liberal and he was the staunch conservative.
Mm-hmm.
for agreeing to meet, both emphasize their commitments to their respective values. And they went on to date for 2 years until they came to the realization that love was not enough. Your political ideologies are a direct reflection of your core values.
Yeah.
To have a good relationship, your values must be in line.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
In line enough. So, for example, I'm a libertarian, but my husband's a Republican. But despite our political affiliations, we agree on pretty much everything.
Yeah, because you agree on all the social issues.
Yeah, we agree on the social issues. Like. And yeah. We disagree somewhat on the financial stuff, but it's not so radical, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know?
I once dated a guy, and I went to his apartment, and he had a picture of George Bush.
I'm out of here.
And I left.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't turn on my heel and go, but I asked him about it. I said,
what? You didn't just make a quick 180 at the door, hair flying behind you. Oh, just sweep back out.
I was just like, why do you have a picture of him? And he's like, he's awesome. And I was like, why is he awesome? Just is.
No, see, I'm going to go further than that. I don't want to see a picture of Obama either, unless you're like an old black person. And
yeah.
It's like a picture of Jesus and John F. Kennedy right there.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King. Like, I'm not into that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't want to see, unless it's your friend.
Yeah.
Or Bob Dylan. Or a family member. I don't want to see a picture.
Or if
like
you're
that.
In the picture with them and you're like, ah,
yeah, yeah. Unless it's, Bush.
Right.
All right.
But I already knew at that point if he thought that Bush was awesome.
Where did he
that
buy
it wasn't
the
going to, it was.
Where did he get the picture? I'm sorry, I'm stuck on that. Like, I think a lot of things are awesome.
Wait. It was a picture from a newspaper that was ripped out and he stuck it on the wall.
Okay. And well, at least he didn't spend any money on it, but still, the sentiment is there.
It couldn't take my eyes off it. I was like,
it's like it's killing the mood. It's killing the mood. I got Bush there, me down.
Yeah. Yeah, I just knew there was not going to be any future because what am I going to do? Listen to
Bushisms? Yeah.
Yeah. So to have a good relationship, your values must be in line. The moment your relationship takes a turn toward disrespect, criticizing, belittling, whether triggered by politics or other difference, it's time to seek help.
Just get out.
But how did they make it work for so long? And they said humor, definitely humor. Mm-hmm.
I don't really find, like, I'm not a hardline political person.
Yeah.
But I don't have time for that in my personal life.
Yeah.
That's why you're in the private group.
Yeah.
My life is the private Facebook group.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it. I already know your arguments. I already know
yes.
what your deal is. And I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to change your mind.
No.
I don't want to get into it with you.
No. Nope.
Because I get riled up.
I mean, I kind of do, but I feel like also at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter that much because mm-hmm. you're going to vote how you want to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So... You can have political discussion with people, but I don't know. I don't know to what end, you know? I mean, if you're trying to understand, usually when I'm having political discussion with people, I'm trying to understand an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't formulated my opinion
mm-hmm.
sometimes. And so you want to get like a range of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think generally more than discussion, like I read about it, I listen to podcasts. Like I like to hear people who are really well informed. I'm not that well informed.
Yes.
And sometimes my friends are and sometimes they aren't. But, so I'm like, let's see what someone like a scholar or someone who's actually studied, been a part of this issue has to say about it.
Because these issues, when you're talking about politics, it's not just politics. These are social issues.
They
are how you treat each other. And, and it's a whole blend of different
issues
that comes together
to make the political stuff.
And then you have to sort out your response, and it takes so much time.
It takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time.
And also, I don't know if it's a getting older thing. I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You like Trump? Fine. I don't care. Let me not come to your cafe. That's all I have to say. We don't have to discuss it.
Oh, but
I don't have to give you my money.
I find watching some of the other discussions, like on Facebook, for example, or, reading through them, like some of the men are just like, they think that they're talking about things in terms of facts.
No, but they generally aren't.
They aren't.
I found that that's an interesting point because I find that when I'm listening to discussions either online or just like overhearing things mm-hmm. too, I'm like, my first response is to ask people like, well, where did you get that information from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you drawing that from? Or is
that
just what you think, the way you think things are?
Yeah.
Who knows?
And then I read how the women really fall over themselves trying to phrase it just right as to not piss off the guy.
Oh, screw
and
him.
Still... maintain a relationship and make a point. And it's like these women are doing, double time work just trying to to keep everything.
It's exhausting. I say forget it.
Yeah.
That's why the private Facebook group, and now the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, that's the way to go.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, inviting my friends with similar points of view.
We want to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
I like the echo chamber. I think you can sometimes learn things in there. But I'm, like I said, I really do listen to a lot of podcasts and try to do a lot of reading and try to get information from people who are more learned than I am about, especially if it's something like an economic policy. Like, come on, how much am I going to know about that?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to go read something on it and hear different viewpoints of it. I do not watch the political stuff on TV. When I see it at the gym, it looks like a circus. Like, the sound is off. Mm-hmm. But you just see these people and they're like really red in the face and they're going for it. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, I know. But, oh, back to the relationship. I kind of got three important questions to consider. If you come to an impasse with your relationship due to political differences, the following are some helpful questions to ask yourself when assessing its staying power.
I just have to say thumbs up for using the word impasse, one of my favorite words.
I love impasse, too. Yeah, I'm at an impasse.
Yeah, we've come to an impasse.
Okay, number one, do you respect and accept your partner unconditionally?
Huh?
So you think about that. According...
it says that.
Yeah.
You just think about that.
No, I put that in there. No, it really...
Big party member.
That's something that you have to really think about. The next one is, do you fight well? So if you're going to fight, are you going to be dirty? Are you going to...
Yes.
How are you going to...
I want to win this fight. If I come in here with the little stuff I have, I'm going to lose. I'm not even together. I'm probably wrong.
It's okay. As someone who's done a lot of work with couples, this is not me.
Okay.
Talking. This is the therapist talking. This is the moment when pressing the point about how right you are is only going to damage the relationship. Both sides feel hurt, unappreciated, and treated unfairly.
But there's so many people in the world. Can't you just find somebody that, like, you can agree with?
And the third question is, can you picture your life without your partner?
I mean, I guess anyone can, yes.
Right? If you find someone who adds happiness to your life, makes your world a better place, and you a better person, whom you respect and love...
But wants to build a wall.
Cannot imagine living without. Political difference may be trivial. Discussing any difference in presence of an objective couples counselor can help you put things into perspective. So, yeah, what if you're happy, you love them, you can't imagine being without them,
but
they make you a better person, you love and respect and trust them, and then they want to build a wall.
No Trump supporter could ever make my life better.
But right.
Right? In any way, for me.
Because probably they don't...
I'm a black woman.
You don't have the same values. That's...
And it's interesting because it's not even... It's when the values become extreme or diametrically opposed to each other.
Yeah.
I have friends who are socialists. I have some friends who are extremely Republican, but they're not bigots.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they're kind people.
Yeah.
So we agree, and the things that we disagree on, like you were saying, it's not the social stuff really. It's not like that should gays be free to be who they are, or is interracial marriage... It's like more policy stuff, and then sometimes it gets into like a philosophical thing. But at the end of the day, we still, you know, operate, we still treat people the same. Like, we still, you know, have this friends of all kinds, and, you know, we can get along and be social. But yeah, I kind of make it a habit not to really affiliate myself with people whose political views, and religious views as well, are in opposition to my own.
On the one hand, it's good to have friends with a different point of view.
Yeah.
And different life experience.
Yeah, of course. But, like, I'm sorry. There's some stuff I just can't get down with.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta draw the line.
Yeah.
Green Party, I'm looking at you.
I think that there's a tolerance, a plus or minus 10%, say, in a difference.
With 98% of confidence.
No, from your own values and point of view, your friends, probably your circle, you have a 10% margin.
So you got to have to make it more abstract, you got to have with the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
And you guys have to be somewhere in the middle part.
Yeah, you have two circles meet. You have to be like 90% green and then 10% off.
It's interesting. I think also maybe I just attract people who are like-minded politically to me, regardless of party affiliation, and then repel those other people. I don't know any Trump supporters. And I know a lot of very conservative people. But I think the kinds of people I know live the type of diverse lifestyles that would not really allow them to be in that camp. Mm-hmm. You know, these are people of color. Mm-hmm. These are people with different, gender and sexual preferences. A lot of people who have worked in social services. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's hard to, there's like a general feeling about humanity amongst all of my friends.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, we have our own, you know, I think I even know someone who, I think I still even know some communists.
Do you?
Yeah. And there aren't that many anymore who will say it. I don't have a problem with them.
Yeah.
But they're kind of like, you know, what happened?
Hmm.
And I don't know if I know anyone who's in Working Families Party. Do you know anyone who's in Working Families or Green Party?
No.
Me? I might know one person.
I don't think so.
Well, they haven't identified themselves. You guys can come out of the closet whenever you want. Working Party?
Yeah, everybody.
Communism? Everybody. Green Party? And that's our election.
All right.
Go out and vote. Yeah. Or don't. I don't know.
I say vote. Let your voice be heard.
Yeah, I guess.
Go out there and bring some booze.
Bring some booze with you.
But don't say that we told you to do it. If you do, keep it on the down low.
Keep it on the down low. Yeah, and don't let them hear this. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
On Facebook and all social media, then you should have your, you should be forced.
Oh, mine's
to
up
say
there.
Whoever, what you are.
I put the porcupine up.
Yeah.
That's our symbol. Is the porcupine.
Yeah.
Someone picked it. I just think it's really funny because they have the, the donkey for Democrats and then the elephant for Republicans. And when they show them together, they're the same size.
Mm-hmm.
So someone took the libertarian one and also made it the same size and then put a bubble that was like, hey, why are we all the same size? And I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
The donkey is much, much smaller than the elephant.
Yeah.
And the porcupine is like the size of the donkey's foot.
Yeah.
In any case.
How big is a porcupine?
I have no idea.
The size of the donkey's foot.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and I used that as a strict measurement, the donkey. This is 8 donkey feet in length.